It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Well, welcome to our Bible study segment today, ladies. And with us back at the table is Beth Seifert, and we are going through the book of Ruth. We are on lesson 3 today, and we're titling this one, Bitterness Returns. And Beth, thank you so much for coming back. And lesson 3 is a very good one. What are we covering today?
Well, today we are going to start with verse 6 through 18 of chapter 1 of Ruth. And I'm going to be reading from the ESV version. And we're just going to head right into it. Remember, we left Naomi and Ruth and Orpah yesterday. Everybody's a widow. They've all lost their husbands, and they're alone, and they have no idea what to do next. So, verse 6. Then she, and that's referring to Naomi, arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." And then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." And Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they are grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter for me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." And they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. Verse 16 and 17 is often quoted in wedding ceremonies.
Yes, even songs.
Yep, and it's interesting to me that where this started was with a daughter-in-law to her mother-in-law. Not how we envision mother-in-laws these days. But anyway, Naomi has absolutely nothing left. She's in this foreign land without any support, and she has two extra mouths to feed. So when she hears that God is providing food for his people, the famine is finally over, she's more than ready to go home. She initially prepares to go home with her two daughters-in-law. But as they start on their journey, Naomi begins to think about what she's going back to. She realizes that while she will be around her own people by returning to Bethlehem, and that the Israelites have laws for caring for widows, she's still going to be hard-pressed to make ends meet by herself, much less with two other widows. So she stops, and she urges her daughters-in-law to return to their own families in the hopes that they'll be able to find new husbands. She has no way to have more sons to be husbands for these daughters, so and she doesn't want these women to waste their lives with her when she has no way to provide for full lives for them. She is completely desolate, and she is now trying to send away the last familiar thing that she has. She has nothing to offer them. Now, this is going to seem a little strange to us, because if my husband dies, I'm not planning on marrying his brother. Sorry. This whole scene is a little bit different to us because we're in a different time. We wouldn't expect a widowed woman to marry her brother-in-law. However, they did. This is the beginning of the main point of this book, where the Redeemer comes in, the concept of a kinsman Redeemer. And what we have seen here is Naomi lamenting the fact that she can't provide a kinsman Redeemer for her daughters-in-law to be provided for and cared for while they carry on Elimelech's family line. So here's what a kinsman redeemer was. Israelite law was such that should a husband die before he had fathered any children, the widow was to be taken as a wife by the next closest relative, usually a brother of the dead man. And the first child she had from that union would then be seen as the child of her dead husband, thus ensuring that that line didn't end. So he would be able to inherit the land of the dead husband and the property and all of the different things that went along with that. Thus, a kinsman, a relative, redeemer, one who buys back or changes things for the better, is what was provided for the people. It was a person who was responsible for protecting the interests of the needy family members of their extended family. So a brother would be a kinsman redeemer. Sometimes it would be a cousin. If one brother died before they had a child, he would take his brother's wife, the next brother would take the wife, and they would have children too. His responsibilities also included things like redeeming land, buying back land that maybe a poor relative had sold outside the family, or to redeem a relative that had a land that a relative had sold, or relative had been sold into slavery, that kinsman redeemer would pay their debts and buy that relative back. Even they were also expected to avenge the killing of a relative. So a kinsman redeemer had a lot of responsibility. File that information away because it's going to become very important. And we're also going to see our own need for a kinsman redeemer. It's really cool how it all ties together. But back to Ruth and Naomi. Initially, both daughters-in-law refused to leave Naomi, but Naomi continues to urge them, and eventually Orpah decides to go back to her people. It's a sad parting for all of the women. They'd already been through a whole lot together, and this was a completely unexpected scenario for them all. But Ruth refuses to go, absolutely refuses. She completely unites with Naomi, including accepting Naomi's God and swearing an oath invoking him and wanting to be with Naomi until the end of her life. Her allegiance is one of the most quoted verses in the Bible, and this is a cry that so many people still cry to this day when aligning themselves with Christ. People have also used it in weddings, as we talked about, but Ruth is talking about aligning herself this way to her mother-in-law. Now, Ruth isn't doing this not knowing what she's giving up. She knows what she's giving up by staying with Naomi. She's giving up the possibility of remarrying, of having children, and a home of her own. She's fully aware of it, but she chooses to stay with Naomi. Orpah's departure just serves to draw that distinction more clearly. Ruth's loyalty and selfless devotion to her desolate mother-in-law, Naomi, are phenomenal. Ruth knows that she's choosing to inherit Naomi's desolation, but she still chooses to go with Naomi. Now, I can't imagine this happening in our culture today.
No.
When something tears a family apart, people don't fight to keep it together. They just let it go. Divorce has become so common that it happens over half the time. Even so, an amicable divorce is still the exception rather than the rule. If you get divorced, you get mad at the other person. Yeah. They're going to pay for it now.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more common to be divorced from your spouse today than for one spouse to die, leaving a widow or a widower behind. But the separation is much the same. There's still a grieving process that takes place in the midst of a divorce, a grieving of something that has died because the two became a new one, and that one was broken in two, just like it is in death. So even today, we can appreciate what a true sacrifice Ruth was making. She could have gone back to her parents' home. She could have gone back under the roof and allowed them to find her a new husband. She could have had children and been as comfortable as a woman in that time could have been. She could have left Naomi to her own fate, writing her off after her connection to Naomi through her son was dead. There are no grandchildren to confuse the issue. But Ruth chose to honor the commitment she made not only to her husband when she married him, but to her husband's family. She might only now be accepting God as her Savior, but her selfless actions really show that his love is already working in her heart.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we aren't going to get to this part today, but keep this all in mind, because God was with Ruth as she made her choices. And we're going to see how God blesses Ruth and Naomi for their choices. Without a kinsman redeemer, Ruth and Naomi are walking back to Bethlehem to a life of desolation, poverty, and because Ruth's a Moabite, they're also walking back to a place that will treat them like outcasts.
Yeah.
They aren't going back looking for a redeemer. They're going back looking just to survive, not to thrive. You see that in us, too? We need a redeemer, too. Without our redeemer, our life here is one of desolation. It's one of poverty and exclusion. Without a Redeemer, our life in eternity is a life of emptiness and separation from God. But we are not without a Redeemer. We were saved from our empty way of life, as 1 Peter 1:18 through 19 says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. We've been bought with a price. We have been redeemed for better things from our empty way of life." In Luke 1:68, it says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people." And again in Galatians 3:13 through 14, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree,' so that in Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith." It is through faith that we are saved. It is by God's grace through faith that we are saved, not because we deserve it, not because we've earned it. And we are going to see how God redeems Ruth and Naomi through their faithful choices.
I am so excited for that. What a beautiful lesson. And ladies, we do need a redeemer. We're going to leave it here at the table, and there is plenty more spiritual food on our website with this Bible study. All the notes are there at naomistable.com. Just go to the Bible Studies tab where you will find the notes. And then, of course, all of the recordings are there. And they're just the 10-minute recordings with Beth here. You don't have to listen to Nancy or I go through our whole program if you just wanted to use these for your own study notes and your own Bible studies. Thank you so much, Beth Seifert, for teaching us today. We'll be back tomorrow with this next part of the Bible study. And for Naomi's Table, though, don't leave, because we will be right back.